Fred Pin Radio, this is Kelly Coletti from the 66th Berlinale. Today I'm in company of Denis Tanović, director of Death in Sarajevo screening hearing competition. So after the press conference, during the press conference, you sound pessimistic about the whole world.
Well, that's great, what's happening in Europe these days when you look in Bulgaria or when you look in Poland, where you can Czechs who want only this kind of refugees. They kind of forgot that 50 years ago they were running away from their country and asking Westerners to accept them because they were in shit. You know, it's funny how people have short history. Or in Croatia, for that matter, where you have a culture, minister of culture who is, you know, who's promoting Ustashi movement a few years ago. And no, it doesn't look good. And it doesn't look good because we have politicians, unfortunately, few of them looking good, but most of them just being bureaucrats and technocrats, and all this idea of Europe is becoming quotas and things. Yeah, if Europe really existed, and I really, really mean it now after all this experience, if it really existed, if this guy really meant, you know, anything but money and deals, then, you know, one day after the war, they would have come to Bosnia and say, guys, we blew it. You know, we left you there. You've been dying. We're going to let you enter European Union today. And we are sorry. And we're going to help you rebuild. But they never did it. No more Churchill, no more De Gaulle. Only this, how do you call people who steal chickens? You know, little thieves. Yeah, you know. That's how I feel about politics today. It's little petit.
What did it say with you of your experience in war? Have you ever been haunted by those events or memories?
You know what? It's another long subject. My wife, she claims that we are all, you know, that we are all fucked up somewhere. And I have loads of friends, from Patrick Chauvel to Damir Chagoy to Rémi Urdin to all these guys who, you know, well, some of them make huge careers in Sarajevo. Some of them were famous before, and these are people that I really, really love. And I think we're all haunted by things that we've seen and things that we recorded. And I think we all have our wounds out of it. But you learn how to live in it, you know. I think that's the... You never get over it. You just learn how to live in it. And it's not easy always. I can't watch the images that I've made in Sarajevo, to be honest. When I see image, I found the tape a few years ago at my parents' house. There was tape. I put it in, and it was like, it was the shots from that I saw of war, of children in the hospital. I took it and I threw it. I couldn't watch it. I can't watch it now. It's funny. You know, I have now emotions that I was supposed to have then, but then I was just filming, looking where the light is, how do I film it. And now it's embarrassing. Maybe because I'm father, maybe because, you know, I'm getting old and corny, whatever. I don't know. But it's...
Berlinale and Berlin in general has always been very fond of your film. So how do you feel to come to a city that's been divided for many years by the wall, considering that you come from Sarajevo, where there's a sort of invisible wall that still exists?
You know, I think eventually, you know, things are going to get calm. And I'm just tired of listening to all this nonsense again and again. You know, it's really tiring, you know. I mean, you know, First World War was 100 years ago. Get over it. Put a historian's talk about it. Put it in the books. You know, he shot the Archduke. And, you know, everybody has opinion if he is. You know, we can make history even that way. Make it whatever. Don't put too many attributes to it and it's going to work, you know. But Berlin is a very important city because I think Berlin was, you know, when I think because of the Second World War and everything that happened, Europe became what it became because people finally decided... Maybe we don't want to kill each other anymore. Maybe we should do something about it. And that was the idea of the project. You know? So I just wish that, you know, this idea implies to my country too. Cause, you know, I think my country is a part of Europe too.
The characters in your movie say that we are living in a past. Do you really think that?
I don't know. I think people are nostalgic about the times where they used to have some security. I think it's more of that. Then it's like, you know, they're nostalgic about communism or socialism. People are just afraid, which is worrying and is ridiculous in a way. Because we, you know, our societies were never as rich as they are today. And they're getting richer and richer every day. Whatever they tell you, it's not true. It's getting richer. We have, you know, more and more cars, more and more TVs, more, you know, you don't even have one TV now. Everybody has two or three. Still, people are afraid, and they are they are thinking that we're getting poorer and that their kids gonna live worse life than they did, and everybody is worried. How is it possible? I think those are the questions we should. I don't have the answers. Anyway, but I think those are the questions that we should, you know, start asking ourselves. And I said to them, the only flame little that I see was Iceland, who said to bankers, you know what, you blew it up, you go to prison. And when we do this, things will change eventually. I was a little bit radical in the film, saying we kill a few politicians, a few bankers. But, you know, let's put them in a prison and things will start changing.
In the press conference, one of your actresses said that in the film, they finally managed to talk about the things that you discuss in private, but you never talk in public. So is that the intent of the film?
Well, there are going to be a lot of unhappy people about this film, because I tell things that, you know, they all think, but they never say publicly. But that's all, and, you know, it's... Trouble is that we are starting now again to live in a pleasant time, like, you know, when Czechs, they say, we just want this kind of refugees, or when the Hungarians, they say, we don't want refugees. We're starting to live again in time in which rise of fascism is coming very obvious and very loud, you know. I would just ask those people, do you remember 50 years ago when you were running away from Russians and you came to Yugoslavia, if we told you, you know, go back to your country and die, how would you feel? You know, I mean... Any country in Europe can remember Second World War, can remember all the sufferings that been. For God's sake, I was a refugee. Okay, at one time I left Sarajevo after 2 years of war. I was in Belgium, you know, they accepted me, they fed me, they let me finish the school. You know, I finished the school, I left, I went back home eventually. And I'm living in Sarajevo and I'm happy there. It's not that we are dying to live in your countries, you know, it's that these people are dying in their countries and they're trying to preserve their kids. I don't know if your parents, I would, you know... I was not sure I was ready to kill until I got my kids. Now I know I can kill, because in order to protect them, I'm ready even to die for them. But this is what you have to understand. These are people, they want life like everybody else. So fuck the fascists, fight the right wing, go to hell, go to back, you know, whatever you want to your holes, and let's bring back the what we are supposed to bring back, you know, with decent human beings. And believe me, it's even for you that I'm saying this. I'm saying this for Europe. Because if you don't do that, you're going to go again and you're going to go and say, oh, we are sorry. We are sorry for Spanish Republic. We are sorry for Auschwitz. We are sorry for Srebrenica. We are sorry for fucking Sarajevo. And you're going to be sorry again. Don't be sorry.
What did you decide to go back to Sarajevo after Belgium?
I make enough money to live anywhere. I can live in New York. But there's one place where it's called home. Like E.T. when he points the finger. He likes the people he lived with, you know, but they're aliens. He wants to go home. Same for me. I have my parents, my language, my friends, my, you know, my culture, if you want. I felt homesick. We went, we didn't know how much we're going to stay, how long we're going to stay. But eventually my wife opened a Montessori school. You know, she has 150 kids now in her school. She's happy. She's, you know, we'll maybe go away. I don't know.
You also worked with Hollywood stars such as Colin Farrell, Penelope Cruz. So which actors do you prefer to work with?
Well, you know what? I like decent people. That's it. Hollywood, Bollywood, Sarajevo, I don't care. Doesn't impress me. I was never impressed by those things. It's such a pleasure to work with people who never acted, as it is was to work, for example, with Christopher Lee. You know, just watch him. Watch now, Jacques Perrin, Jacques Weber, sorry, who just gave, you know. I watched him looking at the camera and giving this speech, and I was like, I have it stopped, and I was still watching him, and then, you know, somebody said, say it, cut. I was like, oh, cut. Because I was totally into what he was doing, and it's so beautiful. So I choose people that I like. And I few times I actually choose unknown actors over the big stars. Like the first one I choose, and it was in No Man's Land, Sergio Marchand, I don't know if you remember him, Georges Siatidis. They were offering me three big French stars, you know, really. And I sat with them, and they were shitheads. They were full of themselves, real Parisians, you know, full of shit. And then this guy came into the room and say hi, and I look at him, that's him, you know, it was him.
I've noticed that you're often working with the same producers.
Why this name repeated is that when I moved to Paris, I wrote No Man's Land and I had enough money to print three screenplays. I was poor, like, as we say in my country, church mouse. For me to go to McDo was out of question, it was too expensive. I really didn't have any money. I was, like, you know, making documentaries and surviving. So at that time, I've rode No Man's Land, and I said, okay, I'm going to go and see which companies worked with, you know, ex-Yugoslavia here and where I can go and try to find some. So I wrote three screenplays. I had enough money to make three copies. I went to three doors. I knocked on the door. I said, hello, my name is Dan Stanley. This is my screenplay. I would like to give it to you. And I went. And then 3 days later, no, 2 hours later, Chedomir called me. Because I met Chedomir 2 years later, half a year prior to this. And I said, I'd like to work. He said, we're sorry, we have too many films for the next 7 years. You know, well, I said, okay, fuck you. And anyway, I left. And then he calls me back and said, why didn't you come to pitch me the, why didn't you come in? I said, look, first you told me you don't have time. Okay, you have too many films. And I, to be honest, I didn't even bring screenplay to you. There are other producers in your production house. One, two, you know what? I'm not good at pitching. What is there to pitch? Read the bloody screenplay. You like it, you take it. You don't, bye-bye. And, you know, that's it. Well, you know, so if you ever read it, let me know if, you know. And that was it. And that was, you know, that was probably Friday. Monday morning, my phone rings, and a French producer who Chedomir works with called me. He calls me and say, we would like to have lunch with you. I say, great, when? Today. Okay, see you later. Click. I say to my wife, I'm going to sign. We're going to make this film. She says, how do you know? I say, it's French people. They call me for coffee, it would be da-da-da. They're calling for lunch, it's serious. And it was that. So that's how it repeated. Then Chedomir called up Simon Perry, who, you know, loved the screenplay.
Thank you, Dan Stanović, director at Beth in Sarajevo, for being here with us. And this is Chiara Nicoletti from the 66 Berlinale for Fred, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.